While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the word of the Lord.
So let us pray before we start. Father God, as we listen to your word today, help us to have ears to hear what you have to say to each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know whether I welcome you. You've been welcoming me. It's welcome everyone. Welcome all. Thank you so much for the welcome that you've given to me and my family as we join the congregation here at St. Luke's. We're very excited to be worshipping and growing with you all today. And through the next few years. It's really good. I'm a bit puzzled that I've been given the sower, the seed, and the soil because, as my wife will tell you, I am dreadful at anything to do with plants and gardening. Many years ago, my sister and I were asked to house sit for a friend for 2 weeks while they went on holiday. The reason we were asked to house sit wasn't to look after the house, but to look after the precious bonsai tree. Well, in the period of 2 weeks, despite following all the instructions, we managed to kill that said bonsai tree. So if you have practical needs in your garden, talk to my wife and not to me. Today's passage is a Sunday school favourite. Well, why? Well, because it's fairly easy to understand. In fact, the first commentary I looked in said, what does this passage mean? Well, we know because Jesus told us. Okay, apparently, this is now the shortest sermon ever, and I'm going to hand back to Liz. No, only joking. Look, I've personally struggled with this parable in the past for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because of the implications of the four soils. And secondly, what is our part in the parable? And so I'm going to try and unpick a little bit of that. Jesus was a fantastic storyteller. The fact that he told this story thousands of years ago and it still resonates today is amazing. But there are some things that I want to unpick. So I'm going to actually start with the soils. So Luke 8, 11 to 15, which we just heard, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Okay, we've got that. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones to hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So this soil has been pressed hard by generations of feet, and the sun has baked it dry, the sun like today, just baking on it. We've seen what it's like out there. There's no way for that seed to get in. There's no way it could be fertile. No way the seed could penetrate and germinate. The seed is good, we know that. But it just cannot be take root at all. And the birds just get a free meal. Then there's the rocky ground. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So this soil still has some fertility. The seeds can germinate, but there's too much in the way of them establishing firm roots. It just ends up as scrubby growth and therefore can't produce any crop. The third is the thorny soil. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, or pleasures, and they do not mature. Clearly, it is fertile soil. We know how quickly weeds grow. But there's too much in the way for the seeds to mature. The weedy growth outcompetes any seed. It can't get light or water or nutrients. The other growth is too vigorous. Note here as well that we often focus on life's worries getting in the way as we become Christians, but overwhelming the good news. But it's also important to understand that Jesus said that life's riches and pleasures can get in the way too. You know, too much of a good thing. And lastly, the good soil. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Well, don't we all want to be the good soil, receiving the word of God, retaining it, and producing a crop 100 times more than was sown? But this is where it can be a bit of a challenge, and this can where it can raise some questions. It can even be a bit scary. Can I change soil type? What happens if I'm the wrong soil? What if I've previously rejected the word of God? What if I do not feel my heart is good and noble? Now, there's some scary words. Am I able to persevere? And does all of this mean that I may have missed the boat in receiving the word of God? Well, I'll answer the last question first. No, you haven't missed the boat. It's good news. We must remember that this parable is part of the wider gospel of good news. The whole sweep of the gospel is that we have a God who saves, that no one can ever be too far gone to receive the grace of his forgiveness. The soil, after all, is actually the same soil. It may have been pressed hard over the years or be full of unresolved problems like rocks that mean when trouble comes, we don't have the depth to sustain us. Or when life's problems or temptations or worries like the thorns crowd out our focus on the good news. But it is the same soil. We all have the potential within us to be receptive to the word of God. But we know, don't we? Well, those who garden know, that a soil cannot change itself, but needs someone to prepare it. This may be breaking up the hard shell built up over years, ploughing and providing nutrition. It may be sifting the soil to remove the rocks of unresolved issues in our lives. It may be acknowledging and removing the thorns in our lives, whether worries or riches. But it means that we need to acknowledge and allow God to change us. Much of this change could be painful. Painful to acknowledge. Painful to hand over to God. Painful to go through the process of change. Painful to us to make the same mistakes time and time again. However, the good news is because of how a soil once was does not mean it can never be productive. So it is the same with our lives. We may have continued to struggle throughout our lives, but the good news is that it is never too late to accept God into our lives and ask him to change us. And just, I want to be clear, this does not mean that the struggles will go away We don't have a God who is a magic fairy. We don't have a God who just says, right, you've decided to follow me, so therefore all your troubles are gone. We hear in that last verse that we need to persevere. It's not easy. But what it means is we journey together with God in those tough times. It is also important for us to acknowledge that even good soil has imperfections, as we do. It will have clumps. It will have stones. It will have the odd weed. Even with that, it can still be productive. We need to accept that this side of eternity, we will never be perfect. But we can change. We can be productive. We need to accept that we need the Holy Spirit to transform us. And we can't do that ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we're told, you are being changed into the very image of Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Each one of you here has been changed into the image of Jesus. That's amazing, but a bit scary. So then, the second issue I want to wrestle with is our part in the parable. I've always struggled with this, because clearly, first and foremost, we are the soil, and we need to work out, are we allowing God to work in our lives or not? But are we also the seed? Are we also the sower? Well, I think clearly we are called to be both the seed and the sower. We are called to be sent to where God sends us, and we're called to spread the good news. And I believe we're called to generously spread the word of God to those around us, and to go where and to whom he sends us. Well, why? Well, of course, because Jesus told us as his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. But just as importantly, it is a response of us to his overwhelming love for us. So what does this mean? Does this mean that each of us needs to go and stand on a corner of the street with a sandwich board on, shouting at people that they need to repent? I think not. I hope not. I don't think that does anything to prepare the ground. It rarely, if ever, has proven an effective way of sharing the gospel. But at the same time, we must not shy away from telling people about the difference God has made in our lives. We too can tell a story like Jesus did. It can be too easy to say, well, I live a godly life and hope people guess that we're the way we are because we're Christians. Sounds absurd when you say it out loud, doesn't it? Maybe people will guess that we're Christians because we live a godly life. Firstly, how would they guess that? And secondly, do we truly believe that we could live a life good enough to point to Jesus on its own? So at some point, we need to move beyond simply demonstrating God's love and tell people what we know, to sow the seed. Indeed, we're told in Romans 10, verse 13 to 15, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they've heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Have you ever thought that you've got beautiful feet? But you're the messengers of God. You're called to go and tell someone about them. You're sent by God to go and tell people about them. We are all built into God's plan to bring his good news to the world. Very few come to believe in God through the divine voice alone. We know of Paul. Paul's a bit of an exception. But actually, there's not many other people who just come to know and love the Lord because they hear God talking to them. Nearly all of us have heard about Jesus from someone else. Nearly all of us are here in this church because we heard first from somebody else. And we are all called as messengers and sowers of the world with beautiful feet to tell people that he loves us and he loves them, to continue that work started in us. And look, our harvest field is not limited to St. Luke's Church, as lovely as this church is. Actually, Our harvest field is the streets where we live, the places where we work, the schools where we attend, indeed everywhere we encounter people. Have you told people of your faith at work, to your family, at school, in your social circles, in your bridge club, in the shops, in the doctor's surgery? Is it a natural part of the conversation with those around you? But there's also a warning here. We are called to be generous sowers. We need to be careful not to judge other people and decide how fertile their soil is. Just before this reading in Luke 7, we're told the story of the sinful woman and her forgiven debt. This is the woman who washed Jesus' feet with perfume. And it says, he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You don't know, give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the others labelled her as the wrong soil. Excuse me. Karen, kindly put some water for me. Thank you. She would have been labelled the wrong soil. But Jesus saw in this woman something of her potential and her love. We are all of us, everyone, not just in here, everyone made in the image of God and called to be in a relationship of love with him. No one is beyond his reach. Therefore, as we're called to sow, we're called not to judge the nature of the soil we sow to. But like the sower in the parable, we need to be extremely generous in sowing the seed, in sharing the word of God. It could be seen as wasteful and unproductive, sowing everywhere, including where it is extremely unlikely that it would come to be fruitful. It would seem to make no sense by worldly standard. In the business world, why would you target an area that has no chance of bearing fruit? The world would say that limited resources should be targeted at where it's most likely to be productive. We need to guard ourselves against this temptation. Rather, we should scatter the seed and allow God's word the opportunity to produce wherever it takes root. I'm really sorry. That's the test today. Because there will be, so we're told as well, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Even if one of those seeds lands somewhere that deemed unproductive and produces fruit, there'll be rejoicing in heaven. Jesus went to the prostitutes, to the blind, to the sinners, the poor, those cured of evil spirits and infirmities. We need to have that same generosity of spirit. And as one of my favourite Christian writers says, let us repent of our desire for big crowds and the lie of success measured by numbers, and redefine success as nothing more and nothing less than the faithfulness to Jesus. Of course, we long for revival. Of course, we long for numbers. We long for more people to know his love and his care. But let's not do it based solely on numbers. Let's sow to the lost and the least in this world, those people we think have no chance, because those are the people Jesus came to save. Those are the people Jesus came to love. So, in conclusion, we must respond to the word of God. And we can change with the help of the Holy Spirit. We're also called to be messengers to generously spread God's word. But we must remember that while we're playing a part in sharing God's word, it is that, God's word. In 1 Corinthians, Paul summed it up brilliantly. He said, "After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. I, that's Paul, planted the seed in your hearts. and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting, who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. This is still Paul talking, by the way. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Here in Luke's, I think we are clearly tasked with working to the same purpose, to share the good news and to see God's kingdom grow. But ultimately, we should never forget that it's not our efforts that produces kingdom growth, but God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for opportunities for ourselves and for others. Let us be receptive to receiving your word. Thank you for those who in times past sowed the seeds into our lives. Let us produce crops and share that with others. Let us be constantly open to change and growth through your Spirit. Help and equip us to share the good news with others all around us. But most of all, Lord, give us the heart to love those around us and a longing that they too may hear and accept your good news. In your name we pray. Amen.